everybody. Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show. It is June. It is the month of the bicycle. Actually, the most particularly bicycle month of the year, although, of course, for a lot of us, every month is bicycle month. I'd like to send out a lot of kudos and warm chocolatey bits to all the folks who, for the first time ever, rode their bicycle to work. Good for you. Excellent. Welcome to the Daily Pleasure. Woo, a horror song. No, play it. It sounds good. it's a wonderful day. We've gotten past that rain that reminds us all of what the rest of the year is like here in the rainforest with no trees in the lower mainland. So welcome everybody to the show. We're going to be talking a lot to a very notorious, nefarious, cringing, I see her cringing, character in Vancouver who's a something of a fixture and perhaps irreplaceable. Her name is Red Sarah Ross, and she's been kind enough to join us in the studio here today. Also, of course, we have David Ripa manning the board with due diligence and exceptional ferocity. So just a little bit of a word about Red Sarah. She's a bicycle rider, funnily enough, painter, geographer, roaster of vegetables, shoulder of many tears. She's cringing even harder. She's turning red. This is great. How ironic. So I'd like to welcome her to the studio again. Oh, I should say my name. My name is Ifni Lachance, and we will be speaking English today. So hi, Sarah. How you doing?
Hi, Ifni. Hi, David.
Oh, you have a great radio voice.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Woo! How did you ride to the studio today?
I did. Oh, I had such a wonderful ride. I even stopped to look at the view from the cliffs.
Oh,
on my way here, a little meditation underneath an eagle's nest.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
are there any?
It's amazing the things you can see on a bike.
Any eaglets in the nest?
Yeah, I think there were. They were talking.
Oh, really?
And there were some crows harassing them, as they are usually doing.
Right. All right.
But their talking is beautiful, the way eagles talk.
Really? Do you want to do an imitation?
There's no way.
Not even a chance?
I couldn't even. No.
You could do something completely unrelated and people wouldn't know.
No, I can't do it.
Okay, fair enough. One of the things that I like about you, Sarah, is that you're able to say no.
Yes. I'm getting better.
It's not an easy thing. So, excellent. Okay, well, I'm really happy that you're here today. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that you've been working on. So maybe just to give people a bit of an idea about what we will be talking about today. We do talk a lot about bicycles on this show, but we also talk about topics that are close to cyclists' hearts, and we also talk about things that kind of relate to the city of Vancouver, because a lot of us have maybe we're down there on in the trenches, as it were, right? Okay. So anyway, I'd like to read this wonderful paragraph. You sent me some stuff today, Sarah, and I'd like to just read it to folks. And this comes from a notice to end evictions. And it says, to the tenants, in the 70s and 80s, when there was a national housing program in Canada and all levels of government spent about 1% of their budgets on housing, there was hardly any homelessness in Vancouver. Today, despite the BC Liberals' recent purchase of 10 hotels in the downtown east side, over 2,000 people sleep in the streets each night. With land prices rising due to Olympics-related land speculation and a lack of available social housing, low-income people throughout Vancouver without housing alternatives are being evicted from their homes. Homelessness in Vancouver is expected to triple over the next 3 years. Boom.
Yeah, I'm speechless, really. By what's happening in Vancouver right now. I kept hearing people talk about like homelessness, people getting kicked out of these single room occupancy or SRO hotels. And I didn't really pay that much attention until the people across the alley from me got evicted. And so they live in a low income rental house, and some of the tenants have been living there for 18 years. They had a garden plot in the community garden down the street. They had a garden outside of their house. And they just got a 2-month notice. It's the property is being developed. I live right near the Olympic Village, so I'm at 7th and Main. And so what I started to realize was that the evictions were happening all over the lower mainland. And it's not just in the downtown east side, although the downtown east side is where we're seeing a concentration of evictions happening now. It's hard to say whether anyone's really to blame. I think the Olympics or those kinds of mega events are known for creating real estate booms, and they elevate the value of real estate, which has the result of meaning people get evicted from their homes.
And this isn't the first time that Vancouver has undergone this process.
No, we saw it again earlier in 86 when we had the Expo 86. There was some famous cases of people being evicted and then, well, dying as a result. So there were some promises made to our communities at the time when we were, as a city, deciding to host the Olympics through a vote. And there were some promises made to us that, you know, no one would be evicted. And so that's not what's happening. We're seeing a lot of evictions happening right now. So we're doing an action. I don't know whether to call it an action or it's kind of a bit of a satirical campaign, really.
And quite provocative.
Yes, it's lovely. It started out being called the Citywide Evictions Campaign. But because of some of the recent evictions by the APC, we've decided to call it the End Evictions Campaign.
Mm.
And our goal here is that we've been working with some women from the Power to Women group. They're so inspiring, these women. I mean, these women know what it's like to be evicted. They know what it's like not to have a home. And so we worked with them to develop a poster that is based on an evictions poster. And so our goal, and actually we're mobilizing cyclists and other housing coalition members and just the public in general, our goal is to put up these notices on 10,000 households on their front doors. So on Sunday, this Sunday, we'll be throughout the streets of Vancouver, outside of the downtown east side. Obviously, we're targeting some people that aren't at risk of being evicted. Just it's a public education campaign, and 10,000 households.
Wow.
Nearly evicted.
You're sharing the eviction joy.
Yes.
So no one feels left out, right?
Yes.
Those poor Point Grey folks, we don't want to leave them out.
Well, yeah. I don't know whether anyone will make it as far as Point Grey, but certainly I think it's important to imagine. I mean, I think most of us who are housed and safely housed, it's hard to imagine what it would be like to not have anywhere to cook your breakfast in the morning or to be harassed by the police for not having a place to live. So another part of the campaign that we're doing is, and something that came out from the women we were working with as we were creating the poster, we realized that the media, the biases in the media, I mean, these voices don't get heard. And some of the biases that we uncovered, like things like rich people are more valuable than poor people.
What do you mean?
Well, is that true?
Well, I mean, we're the media, and I would say no,
oh, yeah.
But we're not really very unbiased.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank goodness for community radio. That's all I can say. I guess what I mean is mainstream media. So
what were the contexts in which you kind of found this idea?
Well, because there's this idea that rich people should have houses, but if you can't afford to pay for your house, you shouldn't have a house.
You're saying it's an inalienable right?
We are saying that, yeah. I think that everyone deserves a home. I think that everyone deserves a safe, secure, supportive home.
Right. And yeah. Ultimately, it does lead to a safer city. It leads to a healthier population, less cost to the healthcare system and all those things.
Yeah.
And more productive citizenry.
They've proved it in other cities where New York City and I think Amsterdam, where they've gotten all the homeless people off the street, including the addicted homeless. So the people that have multiple difficulties with drugs or mental illnesses or mental challenges, physical disability, all these illness, all these different things. You know, everyone's got a home.
I should mention, for those of you listening out there, a couple things. One, this is 101.9 FM, if you didn't know already. Two, you're more than welcome to call in and either ask a question, make a comment, anything like that. The number is 604-UBC-CITR. So let's continue talking about this a little bit. And I should also say that there is a website where you can go to see the poster campaign that we're talking about, as well as a lot of background information. The website address is democraticposterproject.org/endevictions. So that's democraticposterproject.org/endevictions. And there's a lot of really great information, as well as a cute little logo of a piggy with the Olympic rings tattooed on his, not his hindquarters, his forequarters?
Yeah.
His loins.
Some kind of bacon cut, I don't know.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about you as well. because you are such a I think a figure who is very energetic and certainly always involved in a lot of different things. I want to ask you about Vancouver.
Okay.
Tell me about Vancouver, Red Sarah.
About Vancouver.
What brought you together?
Oh, it's very and pardon me?
And what brought you together? You and Vancouver.
Me and Vancouver. Vancouver's a dream come true. I love the rain. I know that sounds strange, but it's really true. I guess I have this thing where I go red a lot, and so the rain is quite cooling. It's kind of like a spa for the face all the time while riding. So I feel quite at home here. It might be my Scottish ancestry, I think. But yeah, I've been here since, I think it's about 13 or 14 years now. And increasingly I'm finding myself surrounded by the most wonderful people, cyclists and artists and cyclists and bikers. Cyclists.
And what do you think distinguishes Vancouver from other cities? Is there something that's here that's unique? Obviously there's something that's kept you here.
I'm happy anywhere, I think, but I mean, the size of it is nice, and the city has been doing quite well on encouraging cycling infrastructurally with bike routes, and it's quite a pleasure. We've also been working developing the cycling culture. I know when I first got here, every single person wore mech and spandex on their bikes, and it was a horrid kind of, well, I mean, that's okay for some people, absolutely, and it's very functional clothing, and I am wearing biker shorts under my skirt, but
don't tell anyone.
Don't tell. But I mean, you know, there's enough is enough. Anyway, so we've been working on, you know, us and a lot of people have been working to develop the culture of cycling here in all its breadth and joy and magnificence. So that's another thing that I really like about Vancouver is the bicycle culture that we have here. We should be really proud of what we have here.
Do you think that maybe one of the drawbacks of going and purchasing special equipment is that it then makes people feel like you have to do something special in order to ride your bike?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, if you look at cycling in other cities, like Amsterdam, again, for example, you know, everyone just rides. You just get on, you ride, whatever. High heels, dress, a suit, with three kids on your bike, no helmets. I mean, you just go. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's very simple.
And maybe for folks who don't know, actually, I have an idea. Let's play a song. How about that? And when we get back, I'd like to hear a little bit more from you as well about yourself and your bike and, you know, you're giving me a dirty look. You can't see this, but I just got a dirty look. Thank you very much, Sarah, and we'll be back.
Yeah, y'all, cut that out now. Cut it off. I'm telling you now, I don't want that rough stuff in here. Well, I got all. You understand it? Mama don't lie. I'm gonna tell you now. Take it easy. I said, Mama don't lie, no. Easy riding in here. Mama don't lie, no. Easy riding in here. Lord God, we don't care what Mama don't lie. We gonna boot that thing anyhow. But Mama don't. Oh.
Put down that bottle.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell y'all something. Mama don't allow no cow count in here.
And that was a song by Tampa Red, Mama Don't Allow No Easy Riders Here. So, Red, Sarah, I want to ask you a couple things. One is, does Red Sarah ever get blue? That's cheesy, hey?
That's very cheesy.
I came up with that on the ride over here.
That's great. I love blue. It's one of my favorite colors. And in fact, I find it's a good compliment for my red face. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But blue as in blue, like sad. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I mean, I think anyone that doesn't get sad in this day and age is either on drugs or totally missing the point. Like, this world is full of sadness and joy at the same time. And I think that, well, I feel like, I don't know whether this is the same for other people, but as an artist, I feel like I sort of walk that, walk the extremes of those, the sorrow and the joy in day-to-day life. I see it, I'm very sensitive to it, and but I love it. I mean, there's no other way to be. But yeah, I get sad.
What do you do?
Go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
Gold star.
It's a very well-kept secret that riding your bicycle makes you happy, right?
It totally does. Yeah, it's freedom.
Do you have favorite parts of Vancouver that you like to either ride your bike in or just favorite parts of the city to stop?
Yeah, definitely. My favorite destinations are the ones that are most natural. So I like Iona Beach a lot. And some rivers and mountains, ocean, just anywhere that there's birds, and even Queen Elizabeth Park, like paying attention to the trees. And I think I sound like a hippie now, but
it's okay. No, it's the West Coast. Everybody,
yeah, it's very West
like
Coast. Yeah. Well, you know, that's where, I mean, respecting other life forms, it gives me a lot of energy. Hmm. Yeah.
Because you come from out east, right? Just like actually everybody in the room is from Ontario. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Just like most of the people in Vancouver. And I understand I didn't live there. I haven't lived there for a number of different years, but David has come relatively recently from out east, and I know that he said that it's a bit different out east as far as nature goes. There's not much left.
Yeah, it's harder to hear. From Toronto, it's hard to get there. Hmm. But I also have had the privilege of my grandparents had a place where I got to go and hang out with the trees.
What was your growing up like?
So privileged. Like, I just had everything that I needed, and my mom's an artist. She encouraged me always, and that's sort of my dad. So my folks are still together. I don't know. I feel like one of the luckiest people alive, really. Hmm. So I had trouble in high school. I was a freak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I stopped.
Are you a badass?
You know what happened? I stopped riding my bike because it didn't go with my fashion.
Oh, dear.
When I was a teenager.
Like, and it clashed?
Yeah, well, I couldn't wear those chiffon skirts and stuff and those pointy boots with skulls on them.
Were you a goth chick?
Yeah, not really. I was the precursor to goth. We called ourselves freaks.
Okay.
So, but then, you know, when I came to my senses, I mean, I used to ride my bike in grade 7 and 8. I rode my bike everywhere. And in fact, my best friend doubled me everywhere. I didn't even have to pedal. I just sat on the back. We'd go and follow these boy bike gangs around. Like, it was great fun. You know, but then I left it because it didn't go with my fashion. And now, you know, I'm so pleased to rock the biker fashion, you know, which means wool leg warmers, wool and natural fibers and arm warmers and scarves and strange short pants.
Strange patches.
Yes.
Strange textures.
Yes.
Just strange.
Yeah, but so now that we've reinvented, you know, biker hip fashion, I mean, we, you know, it's easy and it looks good too.
Is it like geek revenge?
Tell me more. What's geek revenge?
Well, I know I dated a musician for a long time when I was in university, and he had a very elaborate theory about how musicians get their revenge. They're all ex-geeks, And they get their revenge with the adulation of the masses. So
right. Maybe. I don't know whether we have adulation in the masses of bikers, but perhaps.
Hmm. So I also wanted to ask you, because you've been on the bicycle scene in Vancouver for quite some time, and I wanted to ask you, as a person who has kind of moved a lot of atoms around on behalf of bikes, I want to ask you kind of how you feel things have changed, and how do you feel good at night?
I think the city's, everyone who's involved in the bike community is, you know, we should all be really proud of ourselves. I mean, for example, Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show, CITR 101.9, amazing.
Oh, come on.
Amazing.
You're going to make them sick.
No, but really, one thing. Everything. Like, people are involved in so many different levels, and all these different bicycle organizations, people working together, people working on infrastructure, people working on, you know, stuff that I would consider not as interesting, but is just as important, like, you know, how wide is this bike path? Or, you know, doing education for new commuters. It's all the hard workers at City Hall. Like, I mean, I know we could do better, and I've certainly got some ideas about ways that this world, this city could be better, and, you know, wait for it, it'll come. But, yeah, I think we've achieved a lot here. And it's kind of a general statement, I guess, but...
But you feel positive, you feel upbeat.
Totally.
We're taking over.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. There's been some setbacks, but that's normal.
What would you consider to be a setback?
Well, like the Burrard Bridge, for example.
Right.
It's just, like, messed up from the beginning.
Right.
But, and I think there's still an attitude in the city, in City Hall, where it's, you know, every street is for cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, let's move on.
You have some different ideas, don't you?
I do have a few different ideas, but I think we should have a couple of streets that aren't for cars, or more specifically, are for bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Exclusively.
That's in the works, yeah.
Can cats come?
Yes.
Dogs?
Yes.
Little kids with no bikes?
Baby strollers.
Baby strollers?
Uh-huh.
What about electric scooters?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but if it's got a chug-chug motor?
Maybe yeah, not. Electric motor's okay.
Electric motor's okay. Electric assist. Scooters?
Yeah. Sure, well, I don't
like
know.
Electric scooters?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wheelchairs?
Oh, yeah.
Birds?
Yeah.
Flowers?
Maybe some,
but not too much. You don't want to make it messy looking.
No. Yeah, I could imagine that.
Right. So how's that going to happen? How are we going to get exclusive bike-centric routes?
I think that's something that is going to take some incredible strategy, and I will fill you in as soon as I have some more ideas. If anyone has any ideas, maybe you should call in.
Sure. 604-UBC-CITR. And if they can't get to the phone, or if they're listening to this via podcast, how do they get a hold of you, Sarah?
You could look at my website, I suppose. Okay. Would be a good way of contacting me, which is redsarah.ca, redsarah.ca.
Okay. That's pretty
straightforward. You can see my pretty paintings and some nice bikes on there, pictures of bikes.
You do a lot of urban kind of paintings.
Yeah, urban landscapes.
Right.
It's where I live, for the most part, my passion. I've done some natural landscapes too, but the urban ones are, I don't know, way, I do nighttime landscapes too, so.
You paint by candlelight?
Sometimes.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's true.
Is it hard?
No, it's not. Although, I actually have a theory that Picasso also painted by candlelight in his blue period. Hmm. I've never heard anyone say that before, but he just used blue, and that's not really how things work, so.
Hmm. It sounds good.
It is
good.
I
would believe it. If you told me that, I would believe it.
Yeah, I'm telling you that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
You should paint by candlelight from the bubble bath.
Oh,
see,
no.
What you get.
Oh, my.
It'd be great, all these, like, gripping, kind of tormented telephone poles and things like that. It's really interesting.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, let's play another song, and this will be the second song in the Red Sarah set. We've got Red Hot Mama Foxtrot by Ray Miller and his orchestra.
Thank you.
and welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show. Again, that was Red Hot Mama Foxtrot with Ray Miller and his orchestra. And we've got a caller on the line. Lauren Mills has been kind enough to call us in. Lauren, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Excellent. You had an idea for us.
Yeah, I've been suggesting to the city several times that what we should do to reduce the number of car lanes is to simply take out a lane in a two-way lane. So we leave one lane for a car so people can get into their houses and their businesses, etc. Let's devote the other lane and convert it to an actual pathway for bikes and rollerblades and strollers and anybody else with wheels that are human-powered.
And we can call it the human lane.
That's right, the human lane. That'd be a great idea. But we should put one in from False Creek up Ontario Street. Mm-hmm. So people can go up to that part of town. We should put one through the West End. We should put one through from False Creek through Strathcona, weaving through that area as well to hook into all the bike routes, but really make it a full-on pathway so it's safe and you can take kids out there. You don't have to worry about getting nailed by cars when you're out there and feel safe at all times.
That's a lovely idea. Thank you so much for calling in.
One of my suggestions is to look at Vancouver like an octopus. Think of Science World as the head of the octopus and have all these paths wandering out like they're tentacles everywhere.
Nice. A giant Pacific octopus. Don't we have the biggest octopus in the world? Octopi? So that's really super. Excellent. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Okay, take
care. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks.
That's a great idea, Lauren. I'm with you 100%. I know that TransLink has just released a study that they found a little bit surprising, the results. It turns out that, I guess they used to think that once you were a professional or experienced cyclist, you didn't mind being in traffic, cycling in traffic. But what they found now is that both people that don't cycle, as well as regular commuter cyclists, all want to be separated from cars. Everyone wants to be separated from cars.
Maybe even some drivers want to be separated from cars.
Well, I actually think drivers want to be separated from bikes, too. So I'm not advocating full separation because I don't think that's wise because, you know, people have to be prepared for bikes and cars being together. But it couldn't hurt to have both. If we had some dedicated bike streets or bike lanes, that would be... I think it would be good for both the cars and the bicycles.
One thing I'd like to see is just a general reduction in the speed limit on residential streets, you know, to 20K.
Yeah, I know that the Bicycle Advisory Committee has been working on that and suggesting that that's one way to really calm some neighborhoods down. Yeah.
And one other thing I should mention too is that if folks, there are some really, really great advocacy organizations in Vancouver. You mentioned one. There's the VACC, the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition. There's Best Better Environmentally Sound Transportation, and they are doing great work, and I encourage people to become members. I also encourage you to go and check out their websites because there's a lot of information about upcoming events and all sorts of stuff. So, and actually, if you want to see Bike Month's calendar, you should go to best.bc.ca and check out the events listing because it's pretty darn comprehensive, and your mind may be a little bit agog at just how much you can do this month with your bicycle. We have another caller. This is so exciting. Two callers in one show. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Excellent. What's your name, brother?
My name's Flick Harrison.
Well, hello, Flick Harrison. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
what are you doing?
I'm sitting at the science ball under the giant science ball.
The science ball.
the single science ball, and just watching this bizarre traffic formation in front of me. I've never actually sat here and watched it before.
Oh, excellent. So I should mention to listeners that Flick Harrison is bringing us our bicycle traffic report today from the trenches, and he is a local provocateur, filmmaker, actor. Anything else we should list there to describe you? You're a brunette.
That's pretty good, yeah. Ne'er-do-well, I don't know.
Ne'er-do-well. Whatever happened to that V? I don't know.
So bad. I don't know. It was stolen.
It was stolen probably by you and pocketed it for insurance.
Yeah, I've turned it into an apostrophe and pocketed the difference.
Excellent. Well, so you're down at Science World, and tell us about what you're looking at.
I'm looking at this extremely stupid traffic circle formation they have here.
Stupid being the technical term, yeah?
Yeah, stupid being the technical city planning term. There's I don't know if you are aware of this, but there's a spot where they decided to take the bike path, and when they repaved here, they rerouted the bike path straight into oncoming traffic, and using a white line, they hope to magically prevent cars from driving over the bikes.
I have heard of the mystical powers of white lines.
Yeah, so basically the bike path goes, whichever way your bike path is going, you're going into the right-hand lane of traffic. So you're basically coming into traffic. And at some point they decided to try and alleviate this by putting a few weird sort of bendy sticks along the white line.
The fluorescent ones.
Yeah, one of them's fluorescent. The rest are white, I noticed. I seem to remember them all being yellow, but it's an illusion. So the result of this is that basically nobody really knows what to do here, and I've been watching for a few minutes, and I noticed there hasn't been a single vehicle that's gone the same route through this formation as any other route.
Wow, so it's the unpredictable chameleon zone.
Yeah, because there's traffic kind of coming from five directions, and they all sort of overlap between pedestrians and unloading buses, and you know, this is a major bike route. This is right around the water. This is the main way that I bike almost everywhere.
And just to clarify, I think you're quite near the main entrance of Science World, right? Just at the mouth of the parking lot there?
Yeah, I'm right between the Van City building and the Science World. Or should I say, the TELUS World of Science.
No, you shouldn't say that.
No, I shouldn't.
You should say that you're very close to the gates of hell.
So, Science is owned. Proprietary.
It's now proprietary. You can only use it with permission.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite science exhibit they've had here lately was the Science of James Bond. That was last year or something.
Oh,
very
dear.
Educational.
That's multi-layers of proprietary.
Yeah, that's excellent.
With a creamy, gooey center. So I guess folks should be aware of that area. And actually, that's a whole kind of amusement park for a cycling route going all the way through there. We should mention to folks to maybe be aware that, of course, cars are dropping off passengers continually there, so you should be aware that they may very well open their doors without looking. And you should also be aware that the other side of that parking lot, the other gate of hell, kind of just drops you in the middle of nowhere. It's not exactly the bike route. It's not exactly not, right?
Oh, yeah, where you enter just a sort of big mass of people hanging out and loiterers and dragon boaters. You mean that end?
I was thinking about the other side of the circle of hell there, getting closer to Chinatown, which is also kind of a bit of a weird improvisatory zone. Oh, is that a word? Hang on to your seats. We're inventing words.
Yeah, and there's like a low wall there or something.
Yeah.
That surprises you if you're not really paying attention. You can run right into it. And then there's the giant parking lot fence thing that you never know at night if there's going to be suddenly a fence in front of you today or not.
It's true. And they continually move that big cement blocker. Sometimes they take it away and sometimes they bring it back.
Yeah, there was a time, a couple weeks ago, I actually almost ran into the yellow tape because there's this tiny piece of yellow tape saying closed for the actual bike route. And I actually got it. It actually touched me before I stopped.
Wow. And I'm happy that you mentioned the dragon boaters, because we should also mention that they're an extreme hazard to cyclists who are traveling through that area. Please be aware if the dragon boaters are having any kind of event that they probably will be standing in the bike zone, something like a herd of cattle with and you mentioned something about their paddles.
Yeah, their paddles are often swinging wildly, and I think they do some exercises once in a while where the paddles swing. Or something, I don't know, but there's a couple of them there sitting on benches with their paddles sticking out like 3 or 4 feet in every direction of the bench.
And don't wherever you do, don't lock your bike to their bike rack. They're very protective of their bike rack.
Oh, really?
Well, they've made them proprietary. Yes, those are they've been co-opted by the dragon boat movement. So please be aware, everyone, that they've thrown down the gauntlet as far as those little bike loops go by their trailer. Very clearly, their trailer.
Sounds like they need to be evicted.
Excellent, and happy you should mention that, because the reason you're down at Science World today is bringing us the latest breaking hazardous news is because that is actually the staging ground for your event there, Sarah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We're mobilizing on Sunday morning at 11, and that's going to be the day after the World Naked Bike Ride, you'll recall.
Right.
Which is an easy way to remember it.
It's true. Yeah. Are you going to go on that flick? On either or both of these?
Ride?
Yeah, and then the World Naked Eviction.
Oh. Naked Eviction. I'm there for that. That's pretty awesome.
Okay. Nothing's Excellent. Naked, and we're not evicting anyone. Let's get this straight. There will be home-baked cookies,
Whoa.
11 a.m., Science World Gazebo, and we'll provide the tape and a little bit of, I don't know, strategic counseling.
Right, and people should be there by 11, right?
Yeah, we're going to be starting at 11.
So if you want to stand in solidarity with those who don't have homes to make cookies from, come and eat some home-baked cookies and pick up your literature and go and post it on doors at will. Flick, is there anything else that we should know?
I was going to actually ask if I haven't been listening to the show. I don't have a radio with me, but I did run into Andrea and Beth from organizing the World Naked Bike Ride Public Dream Society.
Mm-hmm.
They were hoping I'd plug that, which you're obviously doing. How could you not plug the World Naked Bike Ride?
That just sounds wrong to say.
Hey, Flick, where does it start?
Where does it start? Yeah. I'm not sure. I didn't get enough information from
Good
them.
Plug.
Oh, Sunset Beach.
Let's unplug your beach. Thank you, David. It does start at Sunset Beach.
What time?
Body painting starts at 11, and the ride, I believe, starts at 1 o'clock.
Thank you.
Awesome. How's that for a plug, Flick? Do you
approve? That's pretty good. Thanks for doing the plug that I could have done if I'd known anything.
Well, you initiated the plug. You were the catalyst for the plugging.
Yes,
the
plug-a-list.
We'll always refer to you as the original plugger. And what are you up to, by the way, yourself these days?
What am I doing? I was just working with the Wet Spots today. I don't know if you know them.
Cool.
Oh, don't they do like little ditties and songs and things?
Of a sexual nature.
Sex ditties. Sexual education.
Naked
eviction
sex ditties.
yeah, and that's, I don't know, what else am I doing? Biking around, I don't know.
Cool. And you're not, you haven't been building any Molotov cocktails lately?
No bombs, nothing like that, no. I'm waiting for, you know, arts grants and on that whole treadmill of standing by the mailbox going, I sure hope someone lets me make a movie.
Oh, I know the feeling. If anyone out there would like to give a grant to Flick Harrison, please call the studio at 604-UBC-CITR. Flick, where can people go? I know you have a pretty awesome little blog there because you're always getting into all sorts of trouble. Where can people go to see that?
Oh, you can check that out at Zero for Conduct is the name of my blog, but it's linked from flickharrison.com. That's flickharrison.com.
Or people can go to Sunset Beach and see you on Saturday, right?
Naked.
All of you.
Excellent. Well, Flick, thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Well, happy biking, everyone.
Cheers. We'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Flick.
Awesome. So I kind of think we should go to a song. Hopefully it'll work. Everyone, cross your fingers. Here we go. And welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. Slightly abrupt ending to that song. That was actually Home Sweet Home by The Beaufrères. It's not Canadian content, technically speaking, but I think we can count it as such. So anyway, welcome back to the show. We're talking here today with Red Sarah Ross, and David Ripa. We just had Flick Harrison give us the traffic report, as if you've all forgotten, right, what happened 30 seconds ago. So let's talk a little bit more about what's going on in the city there, Sarah. Just to reiterate to everybody, they should come to Science World the day after the World Naked Bike Ride, Sunday, by 11 o'clock. Pick up your literature and your cookies and go.
That's right. We're going to be delivering 10,000 end eviction notices to households, to doors. We're going to be taping them up on people's doors throughout Vancouver as a way of raising public awareness about our current housing crisis. That is, we really need more safe, affordable housing in Vancouver right away. I just want to add that there was actually an article that just came out in the Taiyi, because some of you may know that there were 10 hotels that were bought by the provincial government, but it turns out that What's really happening is there's far more social housing units being lost than there are. It's just a fraction of those that are being built. So, in fact, the housing crisis is getting worse and worse. So that's it's very timely that we're doing this. There's actually, I could if I could just take the opportunity to mention as well that there's a march tomorrow that starts at the Women's Center, the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and it's organized as well by the Power to Women group that we've been working with. And so it starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's at 302 Columbia Street, and it's a march for women's housing. So show up if you're interested in housing issues and if you're interested in being an ally and supporting people that don't have as much political I don't want to go there, but just it's really important to support people in there as their voices are not very often heard.
Mm. I really wanted to ask you, too, about the Power of Women project here, the women who are involved with it.
Oh, it's I don't know that much about it. I was very, very privileged to work with them to create this poster. I'm a part of a group called the Democratic Poster Project, and we've sort of initiated this citywide evictions campaign, or citywide end evictions campaign, as it's now called. And P.S., we receive funding from the People's Prom Trust Fund.
Cool.
Which is so cool. They're so amazing to fund this project. But the Power to Women group is a group, as far as I know, it meets weekly, and it's an empowerment group based in the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and it's so inspiring. They're learning a million skills, how to work together, meetings, how to organize a march, writing press releases. I don't even know the half of what they're learning.
And sharing with each other too, right? It's a lot of skill sharing.
Oh yeah. A lot of skill sharing. And, I was honored to be there, to be working with them. They have a different perspective on the world, and multiple different perspectives, but it's just, for me, it just feels so good that I can help them with their message. And just, what do you want us to say? One of the solutions that they came up with was that and one of the action items, in fact, that's on our end evictions notice is to have a home swap. Mm-hmm. So you can come to an East Ender hotel and stay for some time, and the pets, including bed bugs, are included.
Free of charge?
Yes. Well, obviously they would need to swap, so maybe your home in Shaughnessy, we could go and live there.
Yeah, and you could probably take the bed bugs home with you when you were done.
Yeah, you probably could. Mm. We have some more specific suggestions that they came up with. One of them is to mail part of the poster to Sam Sullivan, the City of Vancouver, and ask them to enforce the standards of maintenance bylaw, which requires that the city make repairs to low-income hotels and then bill the owner for them.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they've bought a bunch of low-income hotels, but that's not really bringing any new housing into it. That's just kind of them buying existing housing.
That's right.
Right?
And a lot of those units are going to have to be repaired, so people are still being evicted from them. And mm-hmm. it's turning out that to just, more than anything, I think, just being a bunch of sort of fraudulent accounting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I heard Dave Eby say that from the Pivot Society, that it's just... That's not really what we need right now.
So it's more fraudulent accounting, because there has certainly been a lot. It seems to follow the Olympics around.
It's true.
Hmm. Yeah. I would also, again, encourage people to go to the website that I'm looking at here for the Democratic Poster Project, because it's got pretty much all the information a person needs to kind of see the background. It's got the City of Vancouver's Homeless Action Plan, Inner City Inclusivity Housing Table Report. There's some stuff from Pivot, and there's also a copy of what you would get if you came out on Sunday, the notice to end eviction. So again, go to www.democraticposterproject.org/endevictions. Just super and fabulous. I guess, what's next for Red Sarah? I know you're working on some kind of mural project as well, right, in the DTE?
We just actually finished the mural project, and it's launching tomorrow officially, but I'm not really supposed to tell the details of that.
Okay.
It's just a launch for the artists and funders of the mural. But, yeah, I worked on a mural project recently that's going on the outside of the Woodwards building, and there was about 40 artists involved in that. And the subject...
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was an amazing project. The subject is Homes for All. So you can view it on Abbott Street, just at Hastings. So it's right on the corner of the old Woodwards building the small piece that remains standing
right.
from the pit.
The sliver
of Woodwards, yes. Yeah. So it's I have to say, definitely one of the most beautiful projects I've been involved in.
Who was behind the project? Who funded it? And And how long did it take?
Well, we worked on it. We started working on it in March, and we just put it up a few weeks ago. The project was primarily funded by West Bank, who are the developers of the Woodward site, as well as the Office of Cultural Affairs in the City of Vancouver. And then there's some other funders. The Community Arts Council of Vancouver had a big role in making the project happen. And yeah, it was so nice to hang out in the Society of Artists.
Yeah.
And get paid a little bit too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what kind of media was it? Is it all painting? Or are there different sections? Or did you guys all come up with a master design first? Or did you work on each piece, like piece by piece? Or?
Well, we did some design workshops where we sort of brainstormed the idea of homes and what homes mean to us and came up with drawings and sketches and then took them away and we did create a master, one mastered plan drawing from that that the facilitator artists sort of worked on and which is really fun because we got to, you know, for example, somebody draws a butterfly and then we say, oh, we want this butterfly to be 8 feet tall. So it was playing with scale and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We also have some posters that were included on the mural, which I think I've never seen anyone else doing it. So it feels like quite an innovative project to me. Hmm. Yeah.
I also want to ask you how you think, what work do we have next to do in Vancouver? What should we be focusing on?
Oh, good question. Wherever your heart draws you is where you personally should be working, I would say, like using the gifts that each of us has. But for me, I think I've recognized that, well, I have a theory of social change. I wonder if we have time for it. I think
sure.
We do. I'll say it briefly. I actually studied social movements at university and it's a pleasure to be applying it now in real life instead of just... talking about it, but I see social change as like a wedge, and at the front of the wedge you have resistance-based protesters, groups like say APC for example, or people that are saying, you know what, stop, enough, and it's pretty direct action protest. And then behind that you have some artists, and the artists kind of they start envisioning better ways of maybe philosophers and thinkers, and you start envisioning better ways of doing things. And behind the artists, you probably have a counterculture. And I think if anyone's seen the You Never Bike Alone film, you can see how the critical mass movement in Vancouver has gone through that counterculture phase where it was kind of a small group of people, or kind of ragtag. But after that, it starts to become more popular. And I think that's the stage we're at right now in Vancouver, where cycling, it's the fastest growing mode share in Vancouver. And you see three times as many cyclists every year on the road now. People are catching on that it's the best way to get around in Vancouver if you're able-bodied and able to cycle. And so I think that's where we are now. And I think the next phase of social change movements is where you start seeing more state support for that movement. You start seeing education campaigns and education classes and stuff like that that support the cyclists. You start seeing more infrastructure development, and I think that's where we are. And I think that's where I'm heading too. So I've done some of the resistance stuff. I've done the art stuff. I've done the counterculture and the popularizing. And now I think I'm moving more into starting to look at some real infrastructure changes that will support and support cycling and also just respond to what people want, which is a safe place to cycle. Like, I don't think right now that if you're a mom and with kids, I don't think you really have a choice. I think that it's the people that cycle, I think there's a certain amount of danger in it. I think it's the reality because of close proximity with cars. And so I think, honestly, like a mom with kids does not have the choice to cycle safely in Vancouver. So I think we need to change that. So that's where I'm heading. Anyone wants to come along, get in touch.
Then that would be by going to your website.
Sure.
So that they can get a hold of you.
Sure, redsarah.ca.
Or if you ride your bike, you'll invariably see her around, right?
Yeah, look for me. I've always got a red face and a feather on my bike.
Yes, and now you have that great big red spoke card.
It's true.
It's fabulous.
You know what? So I put this big red spoke card on my bike the very first day.
It's big. It's like a foot long.
I did it with Velo Deco. It's beautiful. And as soon as I put it on there, the first day I was riding, this little boy, he was like 5 years old, I overheard him, look at that bicycle, Daddy. Oh, just a spoke card. It's so simple. But, you know, kids love bikes. We all love bikes. It's just a matter of not losing that passion. So,
and not losing maybe that wonder, too, for beautiful objects.
Oh, yeah, that, too. Right? And excellent. Red things.
Yeah, I'm really partial to red things,
I
too.
Love red.
Oh, my God. I was reading that it's been said that Roman officers would wear red so that if they were wounded, it would not discourage their troops nearby.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
So you couldn't see the blood.
So you couldn't see the blood. Well, it
right.
happens.
Red is also the signifier of emergency vehicles in emergency situations, so it does get noticed.
We definitely have one at hand. We do.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about generally speaking.
Oh, yes.
There's a crisis going on.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And solutions simultaneously.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But it's always been that way. It's a long legacy of resistance and recreation.
Yeah.
So let's get on with the last song. Listen, Sarah, I can't thank you enough for coming in today. And I'll certainly be there on Sunday to distribute a couple of evictions.
End evictions. Exactly.
And I'll also be there on Saturday at the World Naked Bike Ride. So, folks, maybe I'll see you down at Sunset Beach, 1 o'clock, body painting to start two hours prior. I'm going to be riding with this lady who she's kind of shy, but she really, really wants to ride. She's British, and it's her first time. And I said, don't worry, there'll be lots of people down there who are a little shy. Folks, don't feel like you have to actually be naked. Feel free to ride clothed or partially clothed or wear a funny hat or anything. The idea is that it is a ride designed to kind of get the word out about not using fossil fuels and enjoying the sunshine, maybe combined for a few hours.
It's also empowering, I think, for people that participate. Most people that I've talked to that have participated just feel that the world is a better place since they rode in the World Naked Bike Ride.
It's a lot of fun. It makes people really happy.
Yeah, it's crazy is what it is, but it is really fun.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. So we're going to just go out today. We'll be back in a couple weeks. And the last song I'd like to play today is called The House Carpenter by Clarence Ashley.
Well, Mitch said a no to love. Well, Mitch said he. I'm just returning from the Salt Sea, and it's all for the love of thee. Come in, my old true love, and have a seat with me. It's been 3/4 of a long, long year since together we have been. Well, I can't come in or I can't sit down, for I haven't but a moment's time. They say you're married to a house carpenter and your heart will never be mine. Now it's I could have married a king's daughter, dear. I'm sure she'd have married me. But I've forsaken her crowns of gold, and it's all for the love of thee. Now will you forsake your house carpenter and go along with me? I'll take you where the grass grows green on the banks of the deep blue sea. She picked up her little babe and kisses gave it three. Says, stay right here, my darling little babe, and keep your papa company. Well, he hadn't been on ship but about 2 weeks. I'm sure it was not 3. Till his true love began to weep and mourn, and he weep most bitterly. Says, are you weeping for my silver armago? Says, are you weeping for my store? Are you weeping for that house carpenter whose face you'll never see anymore? No, it's I'm not a weeping for your silver armago, or neither for your store. I am weeping for my darling little babe whose face I'll never see anymore. Well, he hadn't been on ship but about 3 weeks. I'm sure leak in the bottom of the ship, and it's something for the rise no more.
A long time ago, in a city far, far away,
CITR
was born. In the decade ahead, America will be in space.
CITR
is already there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong had this to say about
CITR.
It's one small step for man.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Herbert R. Tarlick, Chairman.